Good morning. Can you hear me okay? I always seem to have a little bit of trouble with the lapel microphones. So I always get a little nervous. So praise God. Thank you so much for inviting us to be here this morning. My wife Gio is here in the front. Giovanna, we all call her Gio. She joined me this morning. We thank God for opportunities like this because it really gives us an opportunity to get to network with our sister churches, to get to network with our district and our conference. But most importantly, it gives us an opportunity to fellowship with one another in God's presence. Amen? Because we know that where two or more are gathered, there he is as well. So we thank him for this opportunity that he gives us to share the word with you and just share worship. Worship was just so sweet, and there's a certain awesomeness to your worship, and I thank God for that. Amen? Our scripture reading is out of Ephesians chapter 1. And that's verses 3 through 5. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we would be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us in adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. The word of God for the people of God. I left my family behind. Well, not my family behind, but I left my kids behind. I have three children that God has blessed us with. We have an 11-year-old going on 8. And we have a 9-year-old going on 25. So it's really interesting. It's really interesting in the Cotto household. But we also have, they're not too bad, but we have a 4-year-old. He just turned 4, and he's going on just something out of this world. I don't even know what he's going on. You know, some families are blessed with a social butterfly, and we're blessed with a social rhino, because that's essentially what he is. Boys will be boys. He's 4 years old, and he wears a size 8 and a size 10. He's almost a size 1 shoe. He's a big boy. You see him, and you think that he's like in third or fourth grade, and he's in pre-K. So, you know, he goes to our school, and people think he's like Kyle Williams' son or something. He's so big. But maybe when he gets a little less rhino-like, we can bring him back and he can worship with us. Amen? You like rhinos? Okay, oh, you'll love him then. You'll love him. Amen. I spent some time studying and just trying to think of what God wanted his people to hear this morning. I think it's really important that we hear when the Holy Spirit wants to talk to us, because that's what he was sent here for. He was sent to guide us, to talk to us, and just to guide us through life. And so I just wanted to be sensitive to what he wanted to tell us this morning. And I felt in my heart that God wanted us to remember, not to know, because he's already told us that we're chosen. We are his chosen people. We are his children through Jesus Christ, through the sacrifice that he did. But we are chosen because he thought of us before we ever thought of him. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. Can we agree that we're living in some pretty crazy times? I mean, things are, they feel like they're getting out of hand. We thank God because we know that he isn't in control. He is in control. But it does seem a little crazy. And it's strange because I was thinking about it the other day as I get a little older. I start to think about the different stages of my life. And even though my wife is a little older, I was going to throw that in there. Even though she's a little older than me. but we reflect. You know, we get to those times in our lives where we just begin to reflect on our lives and you know, the different stages of our lives. And I feel like there were different periods in time where I could sit back and say, boy, what's going on in this world? What is this world coming to? And when I think about it, we could probably say that every day now. I mean, I think one of the worst things we could do nowadays is be glued to CNN or Fox News, or it doesn't matter if you're a CNN person or a Fox News person, or if you're a C-SPAN person, who's a little more in the middle. But that's probably one of the worst things we could do, is just stay glued to the news every day. Of course, it's important to be informed, but things are just, you know, getting a little crazier every day. And you could sit here and say, what's going on with this world every day? Something new is always breaking out. I remember, as I reflected on the past, I remember entering middle school when the 96 Olympics happened in Atlanta, and that bombing disturbed our peace. And I was entering into high school when that tragedy at Columbine High School rocked our nation. I was finishing up high school when terrorists of 9/11 just stopped our nation in its tracks. And of course, there's been many things after that, but just to fast forward for the sake of time a little bit, if we think about the things that are going on today, we got political issues left and right, the economy, whether it's up, whether it's down, bigger terrorist threats than ever before, the worries with Ebola now, we pray for all those affected by it. The list goes on and on and on. So it's easy for us to worry or become afraid in today's society. And there's a crisis that used to plague our youth a lot, but it affects all of us now. And that is that with the way that society is changing, with the pace that society is changing in, before it was the youth that it was very easy for them to feel a certain loss of identity, but now it affects all of us. It affects the adults, the children, the youth, the elders of the church, and even the leadership and the pastors. It's easier now, today, it's easier more than ever to forget who we are. And there's been a little bit of a loss of identity. And in ways, we forget what we are. So I wanted to remind you today that we are his children and we are chosen. Could you imagine, me and my wife have been having these discussions left and right, whether we build an addition, whether we get a new house, whether we move, whether we stay, whether we maybe look into the possibilities of building. But could you imagine if you decide to build a house, you pick out your bank, you get your financing all set up, you pick out your lot, you pick out your contractor, and before the contractor even has a chance to dig out a foot of dirt to lay the foundation, your spouse or a family member says, hey, I picked out this lamp. We're going to use this in the master bedroom. It's a strange color. It's a strange shape. It even needs a weird light bulb that's hard to get, almost impossible to get. He or she is going to put that in the master bedroom. You haven't even picked out the furniture for the room. You haven't even picked out the colors for the wall paint. But he or she has that specific lamp that they want to use. You could say it's predestined, or that lamp is chosen. We've been going through these conversations a lot lately, and sometimes she'll say, well, I really like this. I'm like, first we need a house to put that in. So let us look again at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. You don't have to go there. I'll read it out loud. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the earth. So you see, this is what God did. Before the foundations of the earth, before he laid out the great Amazon, or he carved out the immense Rocky Mountains, before he strategically placed Western New York in the perfect spot for snowblower sales, he chose us. Before he did all that, he chose us. Before he was breathing life into Adam's lungs, he was already thinking about you. He was already making wonderful plans for your life. He was already loving you as a father loves his children. He chose us from even then. I want to share a quick story with you. It's more of a poem / story. Maybe a stoem. That's not a real word. I'm just making that up. The master was searching for a vessel to use. On the shelf there were many. Which one would he choose? Take me, cried the gold one. I'm shiny and bright. I'm of great value and I do things just right. My beauty and luster will outshine the rest. And for someone like you, master, gold would be the best. The master passed on with no word at all. He looked at the silver urn, narrow and tall. I'll serve you, dear master. I'll pour out your wine. And I'll be at your table whenever you dine. My lines are so graceful, my carvings so true. And my silver will always compliment you. unheeding the master, passed on to the brass. It was wide mouth and shallow and polished like glass. "Hear, hear," cried the vessel, "I know I will do. Place me on your table for all men to view." "Look at me," called the goblet of crystal so clear. "My transparency shows my contents so dear. Though fragile I am, I will serve you with pride. I am sure I'll be happy in your house to abide." The master came next to the vessel of wood, polished and carved, it solidly stood. "You may use me, dear master," the wooden bowl said, "but I'd rather you use me for fruit, not for bread." Then the master looked down and saw a vessel of clay. It was empty. It was broken. It helplessly lay. No hope had the vessel that the master might choose to cleanse and to make whole, to fill and to use. Ah, this is the vessel I've been hoping to find. I will mend and use it and make it all mine. I need not the vessel with pride of itself, nor the one who is narrow to sit on the shelf, nor the one who is big-mouthed and shallow and loud, nor the one who displays his contents so proud. Not the one who thinks he can do all things just right, but this plain earthly vessel filled with my power and might. Then he gently lifted the vessel of clay. He mended and cleansed it and filled it that day. He spoke to it kindly, "There's work you must do. Just pour out to others as I pour unto you." It's a poem by Bilal Cornwall. See, we need to understand that his thoughts are not our thoughts. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. We cannot think like God, although sometimes we think we can think like a God. Maybe we looked in the mirror and we saw that old clay jar, one that was broken, one that was empty. My pastor has this thing that I feel he says every Sunday. He says, "I was once busted, disgusted, and I couldn't be trusted." Maybe that clay jar is a little bit like that. It was broken, it was busted, it was dirty, it was disgusted, and it couldn't be trusted. If you filled it, it would leak everything out. And maybe we look in the mirror and we see ourselves that way. Maybe someone we know is going through, you know, some troubles, some type of depression, that they see themselves that way. But God saw a vessel which would be used as a source of blessing and love. See, he sees things very differently than the way we see things. We see ourselves maybe in our current state, or we see ourselves maybe in the state that we were in the past. We may not even be recognizing some of the mending that God has already done. But he sees us, the way that he designed that jar clay to be, in its perfection, in its usefulness, not in its broken state. When we see ourselves as broken, he doesn't see us that way. And that's what God saw. He saw a vessel that could be used for blessing and love. And as he pours out his love onto us, we can then pour out that love unto others. As we heard the poem, you may have noticed that there are certain descriptions to each jar or each vessel. See, and there's a description that we need to keep in mind for us. We are chosen by God. Number one. Number two, we are called to worship. It wasn't the shiny one and bright that can show off for everybody. It was that little clay jar. We're called to worship. Number three, we're purposed for greater things because of love and because of grace. And you might ask, Brother Jose, how is that? Well, Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that God himself chose us. There were no names picked out of a hat. There were no straws drawn. There was no luck of the draw. God himself chose us. I mean, could we imagine if we were going to go play a little bit of hoops and Michael Jordan calls us and says, "Hey, you want to come play some pickup ball?" I mean, that's, you know, no contest won. No scratch ticket off a Pepsi bottle or anything like that. No code to scan on your phone. I don't even know how to do any of that stuff. Doesn't matter how young or how old you are. Just when you're not into it, you're not into it. But there was no luck of the draw here. God himself called out your name. Before your parents even knew what your name were. So Ephesians 1 tells us that he chose us himself. That's how we know that we're one, chosen by God. How do we know that we're called to worship? Well, Psalms 100 verses 1 through 3 tell us that we were made by God for the purpose of worship. To sing a song of joy and thanksgiving. We're all called to worship. Okay, so we're all called to worship. But purpose for greater things? Number three, purpose for greater things? I mean, come on, right? Well, yes. Yes. See, in John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus tells us that we were purposed to do greater things. That's just when he was getting ready to leave his disciples, knowing he would be handed over. He said, greater things that we will do. And the broken, dirty, empty clay jars might ask, but why? Well, because of love and because of grace. A little farther on in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, so we praise God for the righteous grace that he has poured out onto us who belong to his dear son. So we're chosen. But God did not choose us to be religious people. Because religious people crucified Jesus Christ. He didn't call us to be religious, but he called us to be passionate. People who are passionate about his gospel, although it seems like foolishness to the world. Isn't it a tough job? Has anybody ever worked in sales? You ever try to sell something to people that it just doesn't seem easy to sell? Now, that's something even harder to do when we're talking about eternity. Maybe selling an insurance product or a cleaning product may be hard. But trying to convince someone that there's a God that loves us, that wants us to spend eternity with him, is even harder sometimes. I would say all the time. But he did choose us to be passionate about his gospel. He didn't choose us to love passively, but to love radically. And that's what your pastor's doing right now. I mean, any other person, maybe even other pastors, might have seen this news about the Ebola outbreak in Africa, and they might have said, no way, I'm staying home. My people need me. My community needs me, which is all true. But Jesus did tell us to go out into the world to make disciples. So we were called to love radically. And that's what your pastor's doing. He didn't tell me to say that, by the way. He did mention that he was going out to Africa, but he did not ask me to say that. He did not choose us to serve partially, but to serve all and to serve completely. See, I already messed up your lapel. Trying to make myself more comfortable. And because God is omniscient, we can trust that he chose us with a plan for our lives, which is good and perfect. And we can safely assume that his plans are much better than ours. We may not understand where we find ourselves today. We may not see exactly where we are going. But if we believe, accept, and acknowledge that we are chosen by God, and that the Holy Spirit blazes a trail for us in life, then we will understand the purpose of what we've been through. You see, when the Israelites left Egypt, they were guided by a cloud of smoke and a pillar of fire, which was a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit guided them through the desert or the wilderness, depending on the version you're reading. But it took them the long way. You know, sometimes we may take a trip to the falls or maybe to the south towns. And maybe we don't feel like taking Route 5 or we don't feel like taking the 90. Maybe we don't feel like jumping on the 190. Maybe we want to take Niagara Falls Boulevard all the way there. We took the long way, but we did that on purpose. We want to do a little sightseeing. We want to see what's new popping up in Western New York. But when you're running away from a vicious army that wants to destroy you, you might want to try to take a shortcut. But that's not what the Holy Spirit did. The Holy Spirit took them the long way. Why did it take them the long way? They could have made it to the Red Sea a lot quicker. Well, easy. Because they were chosen. Well, that doesn't sound right, does it? To choose to go the long way in a desperate moment. Well, you see, what happens if they make it to the Red Sea a lot quicker? Maybe they decide to walk around it. They probably would say to themselves, hey, we made it here in record time. We got a little extra time. Let's just walk around it. Or maybe they decide to make some type of a boat or a raft or a floating device, which would help them cross the Red Sea. Or maybe they decide to just make camp there for a little while because they left with Pharaoh's blessing. And maybe Pharaoh catches up to them and takes care of them in their sleep. But by going on the path chosen by God, they were able to see a greater display of his awesome power. And then they see God take care of their enemies himself. They didn't even have to lift up a sword. They didn't have to fight that battle. They were chosen for a greater display of God's glory and power. Just as you're chosen. Maybe today you find yourself in your Egypt. And you see that you are chosen to leave the place where you are. Or you need to see that you're chosen to leave the place where you are. Maybe you're in a wilderness and you're frustrated about the route that you're on. And you need to see that you're chosen to lead others to greatness. Maybe you're at the Red Sea and you need to see that God has chosen you to be an instrument to open up the waters of life for you and your family members and your friends. Or maybe for your church. No matter what stage of life you are in, doesn't matter if you're 1 year old or 100 years old. Doesn't matter if you're just starting out in the faith or polishing off a life of service. We need to remember that we are chosen by a good and holy God. You are chosen by a God who didn't need us, but he wanted us. And that's special. Because too often in this life, we discard the things we don't need. But there's things that we want, so we go out of our way to get it. And that's what God did. He didn't discard of us. He went out of his way. He sent his son for us. We need to remember that we are chosen. Amen? God bless you guys.